Hey, we're back on Downtown. Time for Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us this afternoon. Hello, Eric.
Here I am. Hello. You know, even having requested that, now all I can hear is the dulcet strains of the 12 string of Nelson. Just reverberating in my cranium.
You forget how good those guys were.
I am willing to swear that it has been since that time that I've heard that music. I mean, it was everywhere. I mean, it was so I didn't have cable or anything. We had Casey's Top 40. And then occasionally you'd go and there was like a top 10 program that you could watch, but I certainly didn't have MTV. So like when I got to go to my friends and they had MTV, and that was just, it all coincided with that era, and it was glorious. It was glorious. Not the hair so much, but, solid music though. And solid interview, by the way. It was awesome. And I liked what they said about, you know, we're the first ones to actually have a number one that we wrote. I was like, wow, that's a good dig. Well played.
Absolutely.
But it was cool. It's a good interview. And I'm going to go visit the work of their father now. It's one of those things that's pre my time. But of course, as it was mentioned in that interview, he used all the hotshot gunslingers, Burton, et cetera, that are in all the guitar magazines I've read for, 30 years. So I got to go check it out. Hope everybody's well. I will quickly mention that we are having a wine sale at the store. So get thee down. It's 5% off three or more bottles and then 15% off 12 or more bottles. I just have stuff because I was buying stuff because I was giddy, and I was also unsure about supply chains with good reason, and they're still wonky, by the way. Apparently, as I was mentioning last week, I believe Ukraine produces glass bottles. That's been a thing. Get on down. We have a lot of amazing wine that I have been accumulating. Frankly, my wife looked at me and she's like, really? Really? So I said, no, honey, sorry. Which is to say, my wife is also my business partner. Speaking of places where wives and husbands are often business partners, let us travel to France. We're talking about Appalachians this month and kind of getting us ready for the world tour. And so we're going to go to Burgundy, where Appalachians really kind of got their start, although the regions in Burgundy are not the earliest official appellations on record, like Tokaj and Hungary, etc. But this is where it kind of, the idea of, hey, this plot of land is different than that plot of land is different than that plot of land, and here's why. So our favorite monks, the Cistercian monks, as so many, I mean, I was just down in Avignon, of course. A lot of the vineyard lands around Avignon were part of the Catholic Church, so too up in Burgundy. And these monks, between 1000 to 1100 AD, they started, there was also a lot of Benedictines in the area, which is where we get Benedictine liqueur, by the way. Subplot. The religious types, they like their hooch, I must say. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Nothing wrong with that. It provides me with a good living, but it's pretty funny. But it was the Cistercians specifically who, again, started noting and keeping of agricultural results. You know, we planted this here, and it was magnificent, and this here, and it was not so magnificent, and also the climate conditions surrounding that, which of course is important because simply to state that a particular plot of soil is no good in a time of severe drought is not to do that particular plot of soil any justice. But it resulted in things like if you go to Burgundy and indeed several other places, but it's particularly noted again as I was sort of training through there in this sort of northern northeastern quadrant of walled in, and it reminded me of all these our northeastern tendencies towards walled in plots of land, you know, with like tiny little stone walls. And indeed, if you go to Burgundy, there are, you know, the sort of, you know, 2 foot high walled in vineyards. Clos de Vougeot is probably the most famous. It is the largest in Burgundy walled in vineyard. And it was directly a result of these the monks' efforts. The actual codification of these walled-in vineyards started in the 1800s, mid-1800s. However, the AOC system in France, which is Appellation Origine Contrôlée, basically controlled, this is, you know, we're going to legally define where this product comes from. That was not until 1936 in France that was formalized. Why? Why do you care? Why does anybody care? And it's particularly noted because anybody could sort of call my bluff and the nature of the things bluff very easily these days. Saying that this particular plot of land, and especially in Burgundy's case, where I will remind people, Pinot Noir is the legally recognized red grape, and Chardonnay is the legally recognized white grape. You can use other members of the Pinot family, and indeed, there's certain places where that's readily apparent. But the point is, they decided a long time ago, when overall temperatures were, maybe 2 degrees cooler, rainy seasons and squalls and stuff were not what they are. Maybe the hail was not. I mean, it's not to say that they haven't, and every wine region hasn't dealt with, like, adverse weather conditions. And indeed, of course, they have. But one of the other rules of Burgundy and other places is one of what we call chapitalization, which is when you add sugar to eventually, once fermentation has happened, add alcohol, right? Because fermentation takes the sugar and creates alcohol and carbon dioxide. So that used to be a really big issue, and today it's really not, because the grapes all ripen. Now, maybe that means that the vineyards weren't that good to begin with, and now they're better. That's not for me to decide, but it's a really interesting sort of case study in places that have obviously changed drastically because of climate, yet hold to their prestige regardless. So anyway, that's sort of the thing. I will also, by the way, mention that in Burgundy, there's grapes like the Aligoté grape, which you can buy at our store, for instance, which is a nice, zesty grape, but you just have to tell people that it's in there. There's something called Passatugrain, which we're going to be getting in boxes, actually, which is really cool, which means it can just sort of contain any grapes that are grown in the Burgundy area. And it's delightful because it's like Gamay and Pinot Noir and stuff like that. How are we doing on time?
We've got about 2.5 left.
Okay. So just a quick overview of Burgundy, as long as we're sort of starting to talk about that and what it is and what it isn't. So what Burgundy is fairly flat land with some really nice sort of rolling hill slopes. If you're driving north along the auto route towards the city of Bonn, which is an absolutely beautiful city, I highly recommend people visit it if they can. Bring your money. And you're looking off to your right, you'll see, again, sort of flat land leading to a river. And off to your left, you'll see beautiful sort of rolling hillsides, which are themselves in front of another swath of beautiful rolling hillsides. And both of those are used as prime vineyard land. The ones that are closest to the Otter route tend to be more expensive and more prized, and the ones behind it less so, but that's sort of where you find the hidden gems. About 60 kilometers to the northwest, you also have the region of Chablis, which is legally part of Burgundy. Chablis is a white-only region in that, yes, you can grow Pinot Noir there, and people do, but you can't call it Chablis because the law says no. So Chablis is a white one, and they have varying degrees of legal quality there. And then there's, lands leading all the way down into the Beaujolais region, which is where you start to find that Gamay grape that I was talking about. I'm quite sure I'm out of time at this point. So I just want to remind everybody, COVID still kind of not so good up here. So we're continuing to encourage masking up in the store. We're not going to hold you to it because it's not worth fighting. But we're going to all be masked for at least the foreseeable future. Get your boosters, take care of each other, and let's beat this thing. And I'll talk to you all next week.
Actually, you'll talk to us tomorrow when Summer is hosting, right?
Oh, my gosh, that's right. And in fact, I'll be in studio if that's cool.
Yeah.
So, given what I just said, maybe not the best, but we'll figure it out via tech.
Perfect.
But yes, I'll be right around the corner anyway, so I can pop in.
Sounds good. Cool. Thanks, Eric.
We'll figure it out. Cheers. Bye.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company.